Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Isn't it a beautiful Sabbath day? And I'm not talking about the weather. It's a beautiful Sabbath day. I sometimes wonder how people in the world that don't worship make it through the week, week after week after week, without an opportunity to rest and get to know the Lord better. Our sermon title this morning is Overcome or Overcomer, and I hope that you have your Bibles with you this morning. If not, there are some in the pew there in front of you, because we are going to examine some verses this morning on how to be an overcomer instead of being overcome by sin. I think this is a vital topic because I've heard it in our Sabbath school classes, and I've heard it during our prayer times, and I know that I myself struggle with sin. Is there anyone here this morning that's perfect? I don't see any hands. So I guess that all of us struggle. In the book In Heavenly Places, page 263, in the chapter Pressing Against the Current, we're told, we are in a world where sin and iniquity prevail, and we want to know what we shall do in order to inherit life. We cannot, any of us, afford to miss the great reward that is presented before the overcomer. We want to know that the steps we are taking are heavenward instead of earthward. I want to look at a biblical approach this morning that will allow us to walk in good works, not in sin. Turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. New Bible, the pages only stick together. Anyone notice that? For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The last part of verse 8 says that it's not of ourselves. You know, there's a poem that was written, and I'm not sure the author. It's very short. It says, I dare not work my soul to save, that work the Lord has done, but I will work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. We have a problem with sin, and that we try hard, and we do good, and we fail. And we say to ourselves, boy, I need to watch three ABN, and I need to read the Bible more, and I need to pray more, and Lord, I'm sorry, I missed Thursday night prayer meeting. So we try hard, and we do real good, and then we fail. And after a while, because we're not stupid, and we know what we're to do, we create a defense mechanism. And we try hard, and we do good, and we fake it. We learn a few verses. We learn a little Christianese. Do you know what Christianese is? That's those words that only Christians know, like justify, righteousness, imputed, imparted. We learn a few of these words, a few verses, so we can get by. But we're going through the motions. The outer Christian walk is not reflecting the inner Christian. We talked this morning in Sabbath school. Bill mentioned cultural Adventists. Do you know why they're Adventists? Because their parents were, and their grandparents, and their parents and grandparents. It's not because they believe the message. It's not because they're trying to gain victory in their lives. They're Adventists because it's the thing to do. My family is. What a scary position to be in. In the early days of the church, a common expression of greeting when you came to church was, "Have you got the victory?" Brother Hinman, I want to thank you for still offering that greeting now and then. But we don't hear it much. Not anymore. The answer was, "Praise the Lord, I sure do." I want to venture the reason that we don't offer that greeting anymore is we're afraid of what the answer is going to be. Or maybe worse yet, we're afraid somebody's going to ask us, "Have you got the victory?" It is God's will for you to be an overcomer. It is God's will for this church to be an overcoming church. John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Those are the words of Jesus. "I have overcome the world." So I guess the question for us is, how do we follow his example? How do we become overcomers this morning? Before we go any further, let's bow our heads this morning. Father in heaven, I ask this morning that my words be yours. Lord, I ask that you empty us of ourselves and fill us with you. May we leave here with our lives changed. May we leave here with a desire to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. The first step in overcoming is to recognize what sin is and how ugly it is. What is sin? Anyone? Transgression of the law. Brothers and sisters, that's Christianese. You have learned the correct answer. That is the legal definition of sin. But what is sin itself? The Bible says that sin is a heart condition. It is a condition of rebellion against God that stems from pride. The Bible even refers to pride as the original sin. The Hebrew definition of the word sin means to miss the mark. God created us to be like him, but our pride and rebellion make us fall short of that purpose. Mark 7, verses 20 and 21. "And he said, that which cometh out of the man that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness," and so on and so forth. "All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Sin comes from within. It is a condition of the heart. Sin is setting ourselves up on the throne of our life. We don't seek God's will, we seek ours. We want our will to be done. And it's because our hearts aren't right with God. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That eternal life offered through Jesus is because he paid the penalty. He paid that death, those wages. I want you to close your eyes this morning. I want you to picture something in your mind while I read. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it up on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." Can you see how ugly sin is? Look at your daily newspaper. The child molestations, the killings, the bombings, the war. The young girl, Precious Doe, who now, just now, 4 years later, her killer's been brought to justice. A four-year-old girl found decapitated with hedge trimmers. Can you see how ugly sin is? Is it any uglier than when I'm selfish or when I'm envious? Is it any uglier than when I demand my own way or when I hurt someone else? Is it any uglier when I do the right things for the wrong reasons? To please people, to impress others, or to simply gain attention and affirmation for myself? That sin is equally as ugly. My action may look good on the outside, but if it's for the wrong reason, it's just plain wrong and it's sin. I want to read a quote for you. It's from Robert G. Lee, not to be confused with Robert E. Lee. "Sin has ruined men, ruined women, and ruined angels. Sin has occasioned every tear of sorrow, every sigh of grief, every pang of agony. Sin has withered everything that is fair, blasted everything that is good, made bitter everything that is sweet, dried up springs of comfort, rolled far and wide tides of sorrow. Sin has dug every grave, built every coffin, woven every shroud, and enlarged every cemetery that the world has ever seen." You see how ugly sin is? The next step, once we recognize its ugliness, is to be honest about the sin in our lives. We can't hide it. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do," or with whom we have to give account. We can't hide anything. Oh, I can hide it from you. Maybe for a while. You can hide it from me. That's the faking it part of it. When we choose to hide it as opposed to seeking help for it. Self-justification. We certainly don't try to do that, do we? "Well, if they hadn't cut me off in traffic, I wouldn't use that language." "Well, if my wife hadn't said that, I wouldn't have got angry." Job 9:20 says, "If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me." Jesus justifies us. We can't justify ourselves. We need to call sin by its right name. And once we see how ugly it is and we own up to it in our lives, there must be a desire to change. But desire is not enough. This is where we as human beings like this, because it calls for action. We have to do something. Many are inquiring, "How am I to make the surrender of myself to God?" You desire to give yourself to Him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, and your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. But you need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men, it is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections. But you can choose to serve Him. You can give Him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Thus your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon Him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with Him. You see, desire for goodness and holiness are right as far as they go. But if you stop here, they avail nothing. Many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. I want to repeat that for you. Many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. They do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. They do not now choose to be Christians. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. By yielding up your will to Christ, you ally yourself with a power that is above all principalities and powers. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast, and thus through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith. It's time to stop running away. It's time to stop faking it. We look at the sin in our lives. We're not to dwell there. Our eyes are to be on Christ, but we need to examine ourselves and see it. The next step is recognizing the source of power to overcome, and that is our faith in Jesus. 1 John 5, our scripture reading, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" We must have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith. And we accomplish this through spiritual training. By spiritual training, I'm talking of Bible study, but a marathon runner, when they start out to run the 26-mile marathon, do they run that the first day of training? No. They start with what, maybe a mile? That would probably kill me, but they start with a mile and then maybe two, and they work up through weight training and exercise training over time. Don't sit down and expect to read the Bible in a day. Maybe not even a year. Most of us get as far as the begats and we give up. Old Testament as far as Leviticus, we give up. We need to start small. Maybe it's 15 minutes a day. Think to yourself, be honest with yourself this morning. Don't raise hands. How many of you have a personal Bible study plan? How many of you spend every day of a set amount of time set aside to read the Word of God? I'm not talking about watching 3ABN or listening to tapes or reading some other good book, and I'm not putting those down. There are other things that we can study. But I'm talking about reading the Word of God. Or how many of us have a plan, but it just never seems to work out because we get busy. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Jesus was our example. Three times led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Three times tempted by the devil. Matthew 4:4, Matthew 4:7, Matthew 4:10. What was his answer each time? I couldn't hear you. How did he answer the devil each time? "It is written." I didn't see that he had the scriptures with him. How could he have known it was written unless the word was hid within his heart? How can we expect to withstand temptation if we don't know the Word of God, if we don't have that faith? We must totally immerse and saturate our hearts and minds with the Word of God. We need to do this to overcome. That is where the strength is. Prayer time is also very important. A.W. Tozer says, "It is because of the hasty and superficial conversation with God that the sense of sin is so weak." Hasty and superficial. Personal prayer time with Jesus. I'll be very honest, there are mornings when I get up a little late and I'm in a hurry. And I'm afraid that my prayer time is hasty and superficial. Oh, I wouldn't think of not doing it. But it's not real. The last step this morning is to get involved in ministry. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Every man hath received the gift. What gift is that? The gift of the gospel. We have it to share. Ephesians 4:11 through 15, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." But what was it for? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry." We're to help each other, brothers and sisters. If we're faking it, if I'm faking it, you don't know I need help. If you're faking it, I don't know you need help. If I have strength in an area and you are weak, we can help each other. But we got to stop faking it. We got to examine our life and call sin what it is. If you're not sharing, you're not involved in a ministry, you're not growing. I like doing the teen mission trips that I lead every summer. It's a 2-week Bible study course for me because I realize that I'm not even capable of leading a trip like that without the Lord. It's a wonderful thing for me because it really drives me to my knees. It just, you know, Lord, I'm totally dependent on you. It's so easy to become dependent on ourselves. In closing today, I want you to know that today can be the greatest day of your life. If you'll recognize that you're powerless to change yourself, if you will surrender your will to Christ and put him on the throne of your life. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Today can be a great day if you commit to spiritual training, to spending time every day. It'll grow. It may start with 15 minutes, but you'll find that then it's a half hour. And then you need to set aside a little more time because it's an hour as you fall in love with Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Jesus died to save us from our sin, not in our sin. We need to develop a relationship with him and strengthen our faith and be confident. That work which he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Through Christ you can be an overcomer. Do you want to be an overcomer? Do you want victory over sin in your life? Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.